Hello and welcome to our Link Talks podcast today. Man, are we excited. We've got Pastor James Sonnick in the house with us. Pastor James is the lead pastor at Victory Life Church in Battle Creek, Michigan. He's also the author of a book called Living Free. And if you like what you hear today, you can get Living Free on Amazon. But welcome, James. So glad to have you today.
This is fun. This is nice.
And we're gonna have an exciting conversation about breaking the barriers to leadership.
It's going to be exciting but authentic because you have known me for 22 years. So everything I'm going to share today, you will be able to verify and attest.
I will attest to everything that you say. Good or bad.
That's right.
Yeah, we've seen both.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So set this up a little bit today. We're talking about breaking the barriers of leadership. And you recently had an incident that was kind of a revelation to you as far as your own personal leadership.
Yeah.
And then I think we'll start there and go from.
Yeah. And whether we title this Breaking the Barriers, Removing the Barriers of Leadership or Removing the Barriers of Growth, I mean, they're really one and the same. Yeah. And so, I mean, we're always looking, like so many other pastors, is to grow the ministry. What's hindering the growth of ministry? And so often, the last thing we want to look at is the reality that
the man in the mirror.
We might be the lid.
The woman in the mirror.
That's right. You know, we might be the lid that is actually hindering growth. It's just so much easier to see the specks in other eyes than the log in our own. And I really had that moment just recently. And so in our ministry, I mean, we're 22 years into it now. Yep. We've seen, I mean, God has just done everything, all glory to Him when I use these numbers, but we've seen the ministry grow from 65 people to 2,000 people. But a lot has had to change within me as a leader. And so just recently, I've got three executives on my team, and we're all best friends. We love going to work. We love what we do.
You guys like doing life together.
We really do.
I have too much fun, really, to be honest.
Sometimes that's the case. And so we do this review process once a year where both the person I'm doing the annual review, they have a set of questions, and I have the same set, and we answer them and then compare. So I'm doing my annual review to this executive team. Good friends. And there was this one particular executive, and he's crushing it. I mean, every time he steps up to the plate, he is hitting home runs. And so I'm very surprised when I get to this question of how I can be praying for him. His response was that my joy returns to ministry. And I remember,
So you got a guy hitting a home run.
Yeah.
Crushing it on every level, and yet he's really struggling with having joy about his job, joy about what he's doing in ministry.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's burning the wick. And I would have never caught it because we have a great time. We have a great relationship. Ministry is thriving. And like I said, every time this guy steps up, he hits a home run. So I just thought that it was the last thing I expected to see on the review. And he's getting ready to launch a new campus. And so he's added that to his plate. And so when we got to this, I said, let's talk about this. I said, this one really caught me off guard. Let's unpack this. And this was his comment to me. He goes, I'm launching a new campus or being sent to launch a new campus in 3.5 months. And we have yet to figure out the strategy for that launch. And he had come to me, he had emailed me different plans, different thoughts, and I'm looking at him going, oh, those are great thoughts, but we'll get to it. And he's a planner, and I'm the king of wing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So my whole life, I've been the guy that does the term paper the night before, but I've always gotten A's on it. Yeah. So I'm telling him, don't sweat it. This is going to be great when we get there.
You're thinking he's hit home runs every time I've given him something to do, and you just got this assumption that he's just going to hit a home run. We don't have to worry about it.
I'm not worried about it. We're going to get there. And so I realized, he goes, well, I'm a planner.
Yeah.
And the anxiety is building in me because we haven't mapped this out. So here's where I realized I'm becoming a lid. The ministry is getting more complex. And I have to mature in the way that I lead in order to bring the best out of this individual. And I see a lot of leaders, I'm guilty of it, to say, hey, this is the way I run, and you've got to run pace with me. Yeah. And I think that's limited. that's limiting the organization. Mm-hmm. And I just had this moment where I go, I need to mature if I want to pull more horsepower out of this guy's gifting, which he desires. And it's the way I'm leading that's stealing his joy. It was really sobering to me. And so then I realized, okay, what has worked in the past is not going to get us there in the future. And I'm now the lid or the barrier to the organization. No,
James, we've walked through several different seasons with you and growth and leadership in your church. And one of the things I really admire about James Sunnick is that you've always been willing to do self-examination. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles that a lot of leaders have, as you mentioned. You know, we were just in the hallway with Pastor Dwayne, and he was talking about one question that he asked himself every year. You want to jump into that? And
no,
I think it fits right
it
here.
It really does.
It's right here.
And I had it in my journal because he shared it at a Link conference about 4 years ago, and I went, oh, that's good. And one of the things Pastor Dwayne has always taught me is once a year he does this exercise, and that is if I were to fire myself and rehire myself, if I were to walk out and then walk back in as a first day, first, what would I change in the organization and what would I change within myself? Right. And I was always good at maybe looking at what needs to be changed in the organization. I can spot and discern that. But then now I'm realizing, oh, I've got to include myself in this picture to get a full holistic picture. And it's really matured in leadership. So when we started 21 years ago, my leadership style was I had to demonstrate and model everything.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to usher or the way that I wanted to have ushering done with excellence. There were 65 people. It was a new culture. So I was an usher for 4 weeks. Watch me do this and you model it. Well, that works until you get to about 200 people and you can't do everything. Maybe it works up to 100 people. So I had to change my leadership style from don't do nothing until I can show you how it's done to really learn how to start empowering people. But they had to check with me before they executed. So I could give them a task, but just check with me on what you're going to do. That works to about 300, maybe five. Yep. And then you become the critical link again. And so this is really just the latest evolution of realizing I can't ask my team to always run my race, but I've got to disciple them in their leadership to run their race.
Yeah. There's really kind of a dynamic tension in that mm-hmm. because in one sense, they do have to run your race because God mm-hmm. has called you to be the visionary of the house.
Yes.
And you've got to lead in that manner to accomplish the vision. Just like you said, in the early days, you took a church that was in decline and you came and you presented a new culture, but you had to model that culture to lay leaders and people that were serving in the house. And so there was an expectation that they would step into line with your leadership.
Yes.
But then as you're growing and you're moving from a mom and pop organization to maybe a small business, mm-hmm. then things begin to change and you bring on staff. And when we bring on staff, the whole dynamic changes, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, and there's two elements to that. One is that, okay, I'm your boss now. I'm providing your paycheck.
I'm El Presidente.
So that can go to your head
and
mess up leadership, but it can also, you know, put a lid on your life. Because I remember a couple of years ago, I'll let you share this. A couple of years ago, I came and worked with your team.
You did a 360 analysis.
We did a 360 analysis mm-hmm. of your team because you were moving. This was just as you were moving into your new building.
Months into the new building.
Yeah, there was an expansion going on, growth going on. At that time, I'm not even sure, did you have an executive pastor?
I had one executive pastor, yep.
Yeah, at that time. And so we were in the midst of this 360, and all of a sudden, you come in with this declaration, I think that just shocked everybody in the room.
Yeah.
So what was that?
It realized that our focus needed to be outward, that we needed to be focused on transforming a community rather than trying to transform a service inside. And I just had this vision of looking at the pulpit to turn around and looking out the window.
Yeah.
And you're right, it kind of blew everything up.
Well, that too. And then I remember we took a break and we came out of the break and I don't remember exactly how you said it. It was almost like a El Presidente has got a declaration, State of the Union, that, you know, our vision is, you know, going to transition a little bit. But also you realize that you were the bottleneck of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that moment right there, because we're about to grow because we've got this new building. We're seeing new people come in. We're going to have to add staff. And I've got this revelation, okay, I'm the bottleneck.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like?
Right. Yeah. You know, it's humbling to realize that as you're driving the vision, driving your team, that you become the restrictor plate on the car. And these are the defining moments that this is, I think, the reason why many organizations get stuck in the plateau.
Yep.
It is the calibration. And I love what you said. There's an expectation that they've got to chase this vision. But what I'm learning is to balance that as a leader. As I passion for the vision, I can't lose sight of my call to disciple leaders. And you can't sacrifice your team for the sake of the vision, but you're called to disciple them in their gifts to fulfill the vision.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's easy if you're a type A personality like myself, you're a driver, to mow people over and to say, get on this bus and get with it.
To be a top-down leader, really.
On an element to drive a vision, but at the same time, you equally have to be committed to discipleship and to discipling the leaders and the gifts so that these people can function to fulfill the vision. And that's where the organization has to evolve from one person being able to shoulder the vision to a team shouldering a vision. And I think to get to this team concept, it's the main leader has to grow and see what his limitations are.
And you know, if we filter that down, because a lot of people that are listening today are not necessarily senior pastors. They're leading departments, they're leading initiatives in the church, whether it's launching a new campus or whatever. I'm just thinking of the aspect of when we are developing and growing our leaders, and we're developing and growing ourselves. So you've become a leader of leaders who lead others. In other words, you're about four generations up, if you will, on a leadership scale, if we put it in those terms. Because initially, when you took the church, you were a level one leadership.
Yes.
You were the guy, you were the voice, you were everything.
Correct? Positional leadership.
Positional leadership. Yep. Because you were the pastor. But as your organization has grown, your church has grown, and you added staff, what I like about what I see at Victory Life Church is that as you've recreated yourself in leadership, you've done it in such a way that your team is also recreating themselves in leadership.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about one of your executive pastors that was early on handling both ministry side and logistical side.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a strong suit in one side versus the other side.
Yep.
And as you shifted leadership and you added another executive, then I watched both of them step into a role and begin to grow. And as they grew, they began to develop leaders because you developed them, right?
And so, you really shift a gear from driving your team to equipping and empowering your team. You drive the vision, but you want to empower and equip the team. And you know, we all know the seven love languages. There's almost, there's a book that needs to be written, the leadership languages.
Yeah.
And it's understanding.
I think you should write that book.
What is leadership available on Amazon next
at
month.
At every level.
And it's really not sacrificing the drive for the vision, but how do I inspire and develop you in your leadership style and not expect expect everybody's leadership style to conform to my race.
Yeah.
Is really where I'm at, and I'm learning and I'm unpacking. When I sat down with my three executives and I shared this, it was really shared through an apology, kind of a repentive heart. They actually started to tear up. Not just the guy that wrote it. The guy that wrote it is like, wow, I wasn't expecting this. But the other two, I was driving. And when I shared this and I said, guys, I'm really sorry. I'm not aware of myself. Yeah. And this is the way I've just always run. I'm running and gunning. And you guys do the best to stay and clean up behind me and make it happen. But I'm telling you today, I need to grow and I need to change so that we become more efficient and I equip you to become better leaders. I've got to change from you guys cleaning up and serving me to I've got to equip and serve you. And when I just apologized for the way I hyper-focus at the last minute, and we're going to be more strategic. They actually started to kind of tear up because they were like, man, there's been a pressure and I was not aware of how much pressure there was until you said that.
Yeah, man, I'm thinking about, you know, insecure. We talk about insecure leaders are probably the worst leaders ever.
Like, they are. And they all become senior pastors.
And the only way that you can overcome some of your insecurity is, well, and before I go there, let's say this. The other side of the spectrum is you can be so prideful as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So prideful leadership, insecure leadership, they're on the extremes.
Yep.
Okay. And the product of both of those is control, manipulation,
wow,
driving, like you said, pushing, there's not a care.
Right.
When you come into that place, that middle ground of leadership where you can be vulnerable with yourself, man, I think about what kind of health was generated in that moment with your executives.
Yeah.
Because they felt valued, they felt heard,
huge,
they felt legitimate, they didn't feel like they were being used. And you've always had a healthy environment of a collaborative kind of leadership style, but yet out of that collaboration, then you've always, you know, led, which there's an element, again, there's that dynamic tension,
yes,
right? You come out of collaboration, but you got to lead. So,
and I, you know, what you said just resonated because you nailed it. They can feel used. Sometimes they love Jesus, they love the gospel, they love the ministry, but more bricks, less straw mentality can creep in. Yeah. And you're right. I think that was the key is, down deep. I think they would, if they were honest, they would go, yeah, we feel a little used and they felt valued and appreciated. Yeah.
You know, we've got just a couple minutes here, James, left. Talk about some of the practical things or practical ways that you have been able to generate this kind of, you know, breaking these leadership mm-hmm. barriers, pressing through and developing in the different stages. If there's just a couple of nuggets you could share with us.
Okay, if I'm understanding your question is how do we create this kind of culture?
Yeah.
And in there, you know, one of our governing values is a teachable heart. And when I say a governing values, it means we want to die on the hill for this one. We want this one. There's three other principles, but a teachable heart is one, and it can't exist in the organization if it doesn't start at the top. And so I've just developed this relationship, and we've even looked at it. There's no microwave process. Relationship, it's whether it's a marriage or whether it's ministry, it's invested and grows through time and trust. And I think what really got us there is one, I insisted on myself and with this team that we have a teachable heart, a teachable spirit, so we can talk and to receive. I'm thankful. It was really because he, the executive, could share honestly how he felt.
I'm thinking that's a lot. That's pretty courageous.
And we couldn't have gotten there had he shared. I would have never had this self-awareness. It was a blinder had we not created the trust where he goes, okay, I think there's trust. I can be honest with you. I'm losing my joy here. And rather than confronting me in an attack, you do this. He just said, would you pray for me
yeah.
that I get my joy back?
Yeah.
And so I think for a team to kind of get there is you got to really develop the trust, and how that looks in your team, I think, is going to be a little different. But we develop the trust by saying we value a teachable spirit, which means I'm going to give you permission to correct me. I'm going to apologize when I don't receive it the way I should, but I want to, and I want to grow. So let's just keep having these hard conversations till we get there. Yeah. And that moment, that defining moment, was really a harvest and a seed that might have been planted. I know was planted 4 or 5 years of saying a teachable heart is a part of who we are. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go over just a little bit here, but, I'm thinking about you and I were both raised up under Pastor Dwayne's leadership, mm-hmm. and he talks about some things are more caught than taught. Mm-hmm. And there's an element, I think, in that moment with your team, with your leadership, there was a moment that something was caught in that moment. Mm. But there's also things that we have to do deliberately to teach. You guys have 4 specific values that you said you're going to die on this hill. Mm-hmm. Take just 1 minute, if you could, and talk about how you deliberately put that into your team.
Yeah, we actually coined them. So we all carry this coin, and it has those 4 values. Everybody on staff carries the coin, and it's an excellent spirit, a teachable heart, faithful. Faithful means I can give something to you and I don't need to micromanage, and it brings increase. Yeah. So the faithful steward was given 2 talents. He gave back the master 4. Yeah. So that's a sign of faithfulness, faithful, teachable, excellence. And I'm going to all of a sudden look at the other one to make sure, faithful, teachable, honoring. Honoring is one of our culture. So these were something I kind of went up to the mountaintop to get. And I didn't steal it at a conference. I really thought, what kind of culture do I want to operate that I thrive in? And these were 4 things that I consistently saw in different relationships that were my favorite relationships. Okay. And so I think if you just cut and paste it, it doesn't become real. Right. But I kind of really soul searched, and those are the 4 governing values. And so I'm accountable to my team. I'm accountable to maintenance. I'm accountable to my assistant. If I'm not honoring, if I'm not teachable, anybody can approach me, lay the coin on the desk. We call it a coin conversation. Look at that. It's actually
paint. Coin toss. This yeah. is we're putting in on and, the
and,
table.
And so we've actually had these on the desk when somebody's come in and says, can I have a coin conversation with you? Yeah. And that means we're going to talk. There's been an infraction of honoring, excellence, faithful, or teachable in there. So that's what we've done in it. However, you just got to build this trust yeah. where it's safe. And I think the number one thing is I'm going to give you permission to speak into my life, and I'm not going to shoot you down or execute you for doing it, but I want to receive it because I want to grow. Because this thing called the gospel and the kingdom, it has to grow, and I don't want to be the hindrance.
But we're going to have you back and talk about difficult conversations, because I think that would be a great topic. Hey, thanks for being with us today at Link Talks Podcast, and we trust that you've got something valuable out of this today. And so our challenge is step out and be a significant, vulnerable leader, builds trust in your team, and empower those around you, and you'll be successful. Have a great day.